Scott Lausanne. And this is my last time here with you. I've been here the last 3 weeks. My name is John Lindsay from East Lothian. A special warm welcome today to our organist who is standing in for Deirdre, Mama P.K. He's up there somewhere. And I wish you all the best, Mama. It's good to have you with us, and thank you for coming. I think he's also brought one or two of his own supporters with him as well. You're also welcome. Please stay for coffee afterwards, and we can get to know one another better. Let us worship God. Let us worship God. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Let us sing together hymn number 427. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 427.
Trusted yourself to the fragile faith of wavering disciples. And
And so we praise you that in our very weakness we can know you, that stumbling blocks become stepping stones, and the foolishness of the cross, the very truth that quickens us to life. Hearing God, your wisdom unsettles our values and compels our love. Fill us with the desire to search for your truth, that being content to be fools for Christ's sake, we may transform the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we pray together in the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Back to Thomas in the 7th. Just keep drawing pictures. So we're going to try and sing this next hymn number 272. Now, Anna and I have worked out that Adam is not in tune, and we suspect that you won't be in tune either, which is a good choice for my last Sunday. 272. Let's try and sing together. Now, can you play it through for us, and then we'll stand and sing with you.
Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Ross is not yet here, so if he comes in the middle of this second reading, he can take over from me. The second reading is from John 20, verses 19 to 31, which you'll find on page 1089. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And the next hymn is 416.
my words and not our thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I have visited Germany's second largest city a number of times, alone and in company. I've enjoyed its enormous port, lying in the middle of the city, its attractive parks and lakes, Venetian walkways and canals, its impressive art gallery and opera house. You know what city I'm talking about?
Hamburg.
Very good. I didn't have to tell you that I've never visited the famous red light district, the Reeperbahn, where the Beatles started their singing careers. At least not at night. I've only been there during the day, and it's pretty tiny.
Sorry? Which city? Hamburg.
But the museum that I enjoyed most in Hamburg lies a short bus ride out of the city, in a beautifully landscaped garden, with a fantastic cake shop offering mouth-watering cakes and coffee. It's called the Ernst Barlach House on the banks of the River Elbe. Barlach was an artist, sculptor, and writer. He was one of the ones persecuted by the Nazis as his work was designated degenerate art. But there's nothing degenerate, I think, about his moving wood carving standing a meter high of Christ and Thomas. And you have half of it on the leaflet today. I think it's a deeply moving picture of Christ and Thomas. Thomas is standing slightly bent at the waist, with his hands on Jesus' shoulders, and Jesus' hands, you'll see, are underneath. Jesus' hands are underneath as if supporting his disciple, holding him up. And their heads are almost touching, as if they're about to give one another that exchange, the kiss of peace, with the familiar, commonplace blessing, greeting that they would say to one another, Shalom. Deeply moving. But what's really touching in this piece of art when I first saw it is that it's not entitled Thomas the Doubter. Today is always called Doubting Thomas Sunday, Low Sunday, Doubting Thomas Sunday. He's always designated that way in church. But in this portrait here by Barlach, this is called Das Wiedersehen. Those of you who speak a bit of German will know that Auf Wiedersehen in German means goodbye. It means till we meet again, till I see you again. So Wiedersehen, of course, means this evening again. Or in English, the reunion. It's called the reunion. Thomas is not depicted as the doubter, but he's the one granted a second meeting, a reunion with his beloved master. He's the one who, towards the end of today's reading, will declare Jesus to be my Lord and my God. So how did Thomas get there? Well, it starts the week before. It starts last Sunday with the disciples cowering away in a locked room for fear of the Jews. This was always the disciples' default position. They were always afraid. You remember they were afraid when they were in the boat or off seas, and Jesus has to say to them, why are you afraid? They were afraid when he tells them about speaking to children, about his return to the Father. And he has to say, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. They're afraid even when they hear from the women that he has been raised from the dead. Jesus has to say to them, do not be afraid. He says to the women, Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Afraid was always their default response. And in that locked room, hiding away, for fear of the Jews, they are still afraid. And Jesus tackles their fear. He tackles their fear head on, just as he did throughout the rest of his life. He tackles their fear with that familiar greeting, Shalom. Jeff read it to us. The first thing Jesus says is, peace be with you. His peace and his presence tackle their fear, because his peace and his presence empowers them. He empowers them. The way the Bible describes that is that he breathed on them and they received the Spirit so that they need not be fearful any longer, but faithful to go out from that locked room and to share the good news just as we heard in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. So this little group of faithful disciples are empowered when Jesus breathes on them and gives them his presence with them always. And they feel able then to go out, no longer fearful, but faithful, to preach the good news. Jesus empowers his disciples with his peace and his presence to transform their fear into faith. But Thomas wasn't there the first week. I don't know why. And when others tell him they have seen the Lord, he declares his default position. His default position is not to be afraid. He's always been a very down-to-earth character, Thomas. He's always been a bit skeptical. Common sense is his watchword. And therefore, he's not afraid. His default position is to say, just tell me how that happens. Tell me, give me some proof. He demands certainty. And that demand for certainty rings a bell in our ears, I think, echoing what Jesus' detractors had always asked for right from the beginning. Show us, and we will believe. And even when he does show them, they still don't believe. But he really refuses to satisfy that demand. He refuses to satisfy that demand to Satan right at the beginning of his ministry. He will not give people certainty. And why is that? Why does Jesus not offer them proof? Why does he not offer people proof when they ask for it throughout his ministry? I think it's because Jesus wants to engage followers. He wants to engage us as committed followers and not just reluctant adherents. If someone proves something to you, you just have to accept that. Perhaps reluctantly. Okay, you win, I give in, you're right. But you're not a committed disciple, a committed follower, a committed friend of that person if they've reduced you to believing what they say because they've proved it to be the case. And in Thomas, he does offer Thomas proof. In a sense, he tempts Thomas. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And that's where we get doubting Thomas a bit from. But you'll notice in the story that Thomas does neither. He doesn't touch Jesus' hands. He doesn't reach out. Instead, as in this picture, Union by Barlach, instead he places his hands on Jesus' shoulders. And Jesus, you can feel Jesus holding them, supporting them from unbelief. And his knees are trembling, and he declares his wholehearted discipleship, not his reluctant agreement, but his wholehearted discipleship. He says, my Lord and my God. That's a picture of Thomas I hope you'll take with you for the rest of your days. Because today, we need no longer be afraid, locking ourselves in those places that we imagine are safe. Instead, as Jesus' peace and presence empowers our faith, we can go out from this place to love and serve the Lord. Today, we need no longer be afraid. And today, we need no longer demand certainty, hiding behind our natural common sense and skepticism. Instead, today, with Jesus' hands supporting our weakness, we can, with promise, be released to offer our wholehearted commitment and discipleship, to declare our confession of faith, my Lord.
Thank you too for John and for his ministry to us during this month. We ask a blessing on him and on his family. Thank you for your presence here with us now, your presence which guides and encourages us, challenges us. And thank you for your faith in us and for accepting us as we are. In our prayer of intercession, we remember that all prayer is concerned with healing, and that in our prayers for others, we are offering ourselves as channels of God's love to those in need, and in doing so, we become more whole ourselves. We bring to you the people of Sri Lanka, the victims and the survivors, families broken apart by grief and loss. We pray for the medical teams and workers and all who try to help. And in your mercy, we pray that you would heal them from the atrocities they have suffered and the atrocities they have witnessed. We pray for our sister church in Cologne, all the congregation, that they may feel surrounded by your love, that you would bless them and keep them safe. And we pray too for the event yesterday that happened in San Diego, where someone has been shot in a synagogue. We pray for the family of the person who died, and we pray for those who were shot and are in the hospital. We pray too for those in our own church family who are going through difficult and distressing times, that they may know you are always with them, that they may know that, like Thomas, you will hold them up, be with them, and never let them go. We bring to you the lost and the lonely, all the forgotten people of this world, the abandoned and the abused, the hungry and the homeless, and those who are unemployed. We pray for all who are bereaved at the loss of a loved one. And we think especially of those who have never had a chance in our life, in their lifetime, who know only violence and fear, where dignity and self-worth have been destroyed. Compassionate God, we pray you will be there in the midst of all human suffering and sorrow, that you would bless us with Christ's humanity, with his courage and his respect for others, that we may be led by you to seek justice and dignity for those in need. We pray that we may never be indifferent to the neglect and betrayal suffered by so many. Bring healing, bring peace, we pray, to all in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
culture binds us, fear has lost its power, and all that makes us weak has met its match in death. We bring our offerings, acknowledging that all your gifts are given for our own growth and for the service of humankind. Receive them and our worship. Accept us and show us the gifts we do not know we have to offer. In the strong name and by the wisdom of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Coffee after the service next door at St. Andrew's house. full of crowd going outside. On your right hand side only. Thank you.
Thank you for putting up with me for the last month. Thank you for the warmth of your welcome. And I'll be praying for you, especially next Sunday. I might even be very Anglican and light a candle for you next Sunday. Later. So you should be all right. Let's sing our final hymn, hymn number 646, Fourth in the Peace of Christ. 646. Be with you and remain with you always.